If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
We didn't want Twitter to be a distributor for hack materials. We found that the New York Post, because it showed the direct materials, screenshots of the direct materials, and it was unclear how those were attained, that it fell under this policy. Now,
so in your view, if it's unclear the source of a document, and in this instance, the New York Post documented what it said the source was, which it said it was a laptop owned by Hunter Biden that had been turned into a repair store. So they weren't hiding what they claimed to be the source. Is it your position that Twitter, when you can't tell the source, blocks press stories?
No, not at all. Our team made a fast decision. The enforcement action, however, of blocking URLs, both in tweets and in DM, in direct messages, we believe was incorrect, and we changed it.
Today, right now, the New York Post is still blocked from tweeting 2 weeks later.
Yes, they have to log into their account, which they can do at this minute, delete the original tweet, which fell under our original enforcement actions, and they can tweet the exact same material in the exact same article, and it would go through.
So, Mr. Dorsey, your ability is you have the power to force a media outlet. And let's be clear. The New York Post isn't just some random guy tweeting. The New York Post has the 4th highest circulation of any newspaper in America. The New York Post is over 200 years old. The New York Post was founded by Alexander Hamilton. And your position is that you can sit in Silicon Valley and demand of the media that you can tell them what stories they can publish, and you can tell the American people what reporting they can hear. Is that right?
No. This was every person, every account, every organization that signs up to Twitter agrees to a terms of service. A terms of service is
so media outlets must genuflect and obey your dictates if they wish to be able to communicate with readers. Is that right?
No, not at all. We recognized an error in this policy, and specifically the enforcement.
You're still blocking their posts. You're still blocking their posts. Right now, today, you're blocking their posts.
We're not blocking the posts. Anyone can tweet.
Can the New York Post post on their Twitter account?
If they go into their account.
No is your answer to that. No, unless they genuflect and agree with your dictates. Let me ask you something. You claimed it was because of a hacked materials policy. I find that facially highly dubious and clearly employed in a deeply partial way. Did Twitter block the distribution of the New York Times' story a few weeks ago that purported to be based on copies of President Trump's tax returns?
We didn't find that a violation of our terms of service and this policy in particular, because it was reporting about the material. It wasn't distributing the material.
Okay, well, that's actually not true. They posted what they purported to be original source materials, and federal law, federal statute makes it a crime, a federal felony, to distribute someone's tax returns against their knowledge. So that material was based on something that was distributed in violation of federal law, and yet Twitter gleefully allowed people to circulate that. But when the article was critical of Joe Biden, Twitter engaged in rampant censorship and silencing.
Mm-hmm. And again, we recognized errors in that policy. We changed it within 24 hours. This is.
But you're still blocking the New York Post. You haven't changed it.
We have changed it. They can log into their account, delete the original tweet.
You forced a Politico reporter to take down his post about the New York Post as well. Is that correct?
Within that 24-hour period, yes, but we, you know, as the policy has changed, anyone can tweet
the charter. So Twitter takes the view, you can censor the New York Post, you can censor Politico, presumably you can censor the New York Times or any other media outlet. Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing views to the contrary of your political beliefs?
Let's give Mr. Dorsey a few seconds to answer that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Get in there and save him. Oh, my gosh. First off, welcome to the show. I'm Dana Loesch. And that was Senator Ted Cruz, who shows why he's an attorney. And this is when I like him being grandiose with his lawyerese. This is when I like the presentation. It was like watching Dan Perry Mason, wasn't it? Like, oh my gosh. Welcome to the show. We made it to Wednesday. I am here for that line of questioning all day. All day long. I'm here for it. That was amazing because it's true. And I don't trust Jack. No. Which should be a t-shirt. Right. Don't trust Jack.
I don't trust Jack.
I have so many, I have some audio bites that I didn't even put in Slack yet. There's so many things that I have on this. And I really want to, I cannot emphasize this enough. In my mind, when I say I can't emphasize it enough, I'm not only emboldening, I'm putting in bold the word, I'm underscoring it, italicizing it, changing the color of the font to red. And I may even change it to Comic Sans just to mess with people. So imagine that's what I'm saying with this. This is, I get the arguments on both sides, but this is so incredibly important because we're talking about something that's going to affect the future of how consumers can get news. The newspapers are going to be gone. They are already on their way out. I said that they were going to be gone, like, you know, 20 years ago. Actually, I said 10 years ago that they were going to be gone and that they were already on the decline when I said that 10 years ago. Everything is, social media is making everything more immediate. And I owe you a newsletter, but one of the things that you're going to see this evening is I've been writing it out how media has changed, the consumption of media has changed, and the reason that Facebook and Twitter and these social platforms have jumped at the opportunity to suppress conservative voices is because conservatives have been so incredibly successful with using these platforms to challenge media narratives. It got long because I got into the whole entire history of it. But it's necessary to understand how we got to this point when you realize when at the advent of social media, conservatives dominated. And it was one of the very few things that conservatives actually engaged on and dominated, much in the same way that progressives do with academia and with Hollywood. And this was one of the areas where conservatives, for some reason, and it wasn't because it was organized, it was just organic, the conservative ideology just dominated social media. It's one of the ways that the Tea Party movement was able to be the Tea Party movement. And you wouldn't have Donald Trump as president without the Tea Party movement. All of these things laid this thatchwork ground foundation here to get us to this point where we are. And so I was watching him answer these questions and he looked uncomfortable. And he also, I didn't trust him at all because everything he said was circular. And furthermore, I mean, he was asked about the Ayatollah. Why are you allowing tweets from the Ayatollah? He was asked stuff about the Holocaust. And the other thing is too, he had said, and he tweeted this an hour ago. He goes, the concept of good faith is what's being challenged by many of you today. Some of you don't trust that we're acting in good faith. That's the problem I want to focus on solving. Oh my gosh, Katie bar the door. Right. I need the Lord to descend from the sky and put a giant holy hand over my mouth right now. Jack tweets, that's the problem I want to focus on. How do services like Twitter earn your trust? How do we ensure more choice in the market if we don't? I don't know. Maybe don't suspend accounts like mine simply because we literally tweet to stories based that are filled with facts. Just because you don't like the fact that it compromises your candidate. Maybe start there. But see, media, legacy media, was really, really pushing on Facebook and Twitter to come down on all of these other voices,
on all of the to come down on all of these conservatives. Remember when this was like back in 2002 when they were telling everyone, oh, you're just a blogger. Remember that? That actually became a phrase because the medium through which someone was telling the stories of their neighborhood or what was happening in their state was being denigrated by the elitists who worked at the New York Times and the Washington Post, etc. And so they would say that those people who were challenging their narratives that, oh, well, you're just a blogger, as though the medium had something to do with it. And now look, they're all going to it. All of them. They all have their own little bit, you know, subscription sites that you can go to. And this and it challenged them, and they were terrified of it, and they had to figure out a way, since they weren't able to hit the credibility of what was being reported, they had to figure out how to suppress it. And the best way to do that is to put the pressure on social media. And it amazes me that it actually took legacy media that long to even put pressure on social media, considering that they're all on the same page. You know, all of the people who are creating these entities, they're all in the little Tupperware fresh bubble of Silicon Valley. They're all up there in Northern California, you know, right outside of San Francisco. They're all far left progressives. And it's amazing that it took legacy media this long to make this happen. But it's also a shame that conservatives didn't foresee it happening. So this is what the legacy press has called for. And so when I hear Jack say these things and the stuff that he's tweeting, he goes, you know, we have to have a moderation the services moderation process should be published. You know, how are cases reported and reviewed? All of this happened because they tried to suppress a legitimate story. And sidebar to that, I want to get into the narrative that, and I mentioned this yesterday, there, people are saying that, oh, well, the Hunter Biden story is going to explode on Republicans. I think that's a narrative, too. And we're going to talk about that coming up. I have to play some more for you here because there's so much audio. This, I think, is one of the biggest stories. Listen to this. So I couldn't tweet out, and thousands of other people couldn't tweet out the New York Post story. And we all had our accounts suspended. But here you can do this kind of stuff. Audio sent by 28.
And we don't have a policy against misinformation. We have a policy against misinformation in three categories, which are manipulated media, public health, specifically COVID, and civic integrity, election interference, and voter suppression. That is all we have policy on for misleading information. We do not have policy or enforcement for any other types of misleading information that you're mentioning.
So somebody denying the murder of millions of people, or instigating violence against a country as a head of state is not categorically falling in any of those three misinformation or other categories Twitter has?
Not misinformation, but we do have other policies around incitement to violence, which may, some of the tweets that you mentioned or the examples that you're mentioning may fall afoul of. But for misleading information, we're focused on those three categories only.
So somebody denies the Holocaust has happened is not misinformation?
It's misleading information, but we don't have a policy against that type of misleading information.
Millions of people died.
Wow. Wow. But my account and thousands of others were suspended because of that New York. We literally just shared a link. Wow. In fact, in my case, I shared a link to a story I had written that was talking about big tech's crackdown of it. I wasn't even talking about the New York Post piece per se. I was talking about big tech's response to it. My account was suspended because of that. Everyone else, they would just share a link or a screenshot. So we have a ton more on this coming up. We're also going to get into, I have a lot of polling data to go over with you. And we're going to, what happened to the Omaha rally? We're going to discuss that. That Bob Alinsky interview. He came with receipts. Oh, man. Oh, he was mad, too. You can tell he's still mad. So we have all of that and more. You don't want to miss it. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new Vitamin D3 Chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews and a free bag of Super Beets Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beets Chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So we have a lot of headlines for you today. First and foremost, the left is mad because Amy Coney Barrett is now she's using the Supreme Court chambers that were previously used by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So The Hill wrote a piece on this. They also said that Ginsburg's five law clerks are now working for Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. So she's using essentially Ginsburg's offices. The left was mad. It's not a shrine, just so you know. Like, these are not, her chambers are not going to be turned into like some holy place. That's not what this is. Toymaker Mattel is accused of cultural appropriation because celebrating even cultures is now considered appropriation because they launched a $72 Day of the Dead Barbie. It's the Katrina Barbie, right, with the skeleton, the makeup. It's the skeletal representation of death. And it was created by a cartoonist, Jose Posada, in the early 1900s. And so they say, oh, this is... The critics say that it's cultural appropriation, whereas normal people think that it's just an homage to a very rich tradition because it's the Day of the Dead festival, Dia de los Muertos. So that's, I mean, it's like everywhere. Why is it considered appropriation if Mattel is doing it? Because if Mattel didn't do it, then wouldn't they consider it a slight? I don't know. Everything's backwards. New York City restaurants are warning of a tsunami of closings as Cuomo keeps them in the dark about doubling the indoor dining capacity on November 1st. So at first they said that they could increase it from 25% to maybe 50% on November 1st. But owners say, all these restaurants in New York say, we haven't heard anything from the governor and we're like 5 days away from this now. The fears are mounting that he is going to delay this expansion because there was a little increase in the cases across Brooklyn and Queens, and restaurateurs are scared. They said without the expanded indoor dining, there's going to be a tsunami of closings, and I can see that completely. So Texas Regents say that the eyes of Texas, this was something that was being fought over at UT. The System Board of Regents took a proactive step, and they're saying that UT, yes, you know, they said that the eyes of Texas is and will remain the official school song. And apparently Mark Kelly was dressed as Hitler in a yearbook photo. He takes the Ralph Abortham excuse and says, it wasn't me. Maybe it was, but it wasn't me. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
You know, if you said you do not have a list, is that correct? You do not maintain a list?
We don't maintain a list of accounts we watch. We look for reports and issues brought to us, and then we weigh it against our policy and enforce if needed.
You look for reports from your employees or from the
From the people using the service.
Right, and then they turn that over to your board of review. Is that correct?
So in some cases algorithms take action. In other cases humans do. In some cases it's a pairing of the two.
There are numerous examples of blue check marks that are spreading false information that aren't flagged. So Twitter must have some kind of list of priority accounts that it maintains. You have the blue check mark list. How do you decide when to flag a tweet? You got into that a little bit. Is there a formal threshold of retweets or likes that must be met before a tweet is flagged?
No.
Twitter can't claim that. I just, with your answers on
the Ayatollah and others, I just don't understand how Twitter can claim to want a world of less hate and misinformation while you simultaneously let the kind of content that the Ayatollah has tweeted out flourish on the platform, including from other world leaders. It's no wonder that Americans are concerned about politically motivated content moderation at Twitter, given what we have just said. I don't like the idea of a group of unelected elites in San Francisco or Silicon Valley deciding whether my speech is permissible on their platforms, but I like...
They don't really have they don't have a plan. There's no consistent standard of measure to determine how people are, what tweets are acceptable and what tweets aren't. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. By the way, here's where you can find me.
Do you have the guts?
Get out of the dark and visit DanaLash.com at DLash on Twitter and Instagram.
Don't forget Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube.
Ah, yes. Also, stream the show there at official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the first, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
So we're going to get into the polling and a bunch of other stuff, but can we just be real for a minute? So I've been watching these hearings and this all morning, and I've been fascinated by this. Do you guys get the impression that Jack isn't in there? I mean, do you see his screen? Like, can you just freeze on, for those watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, is he in front of a window or is he outside? Because when you look over, if you're looking at the screen to the left, I mean, clearly it looks like he's outside.
Kinda, yeah.
Did they have to lure him out of a yurt to get him to testify today? I know that he's been out in the wilderness or something, and he comes rolling in here. I'm saying that because I feel like he talks like someone who is not in regularly enough to manage and oversee these issues. He is trying to grow himself a nice Appalachian beard, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He really is. He's trying to. And I'm looking at, I think it's a window. It looks like it might be a window. I'm trying to look at more screen caps of this because I'm like, is he really out? He did get lured out of his yurt, didn't he? They actually did. They stopped him yoga. They stopped him mid-yoga. He's actually wearing man leggings. And, which, by the way, sidebar, man leggings. What's that? That's a thing. Did you guys know that? It's a thing. How can you... There's just a number of things I don't know how that would be comfortable to do if you're a dude. And wearing leggings is one of them, because you have some accoutrements that women don't have.
Accoutrements.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll roll it back here, though. So I get he talks like somebody who's not in their day to day. Well, I don't really know what the hell is going on. And then my other, and I have all these, I made some notes here because people kept asking him, what can the New York Post do because they're still locked out of their account. I don't know if you guys knew this. They're still locked out. And they were asking Jack Dorsey, how can they get their account unlocked? And basically they said, if the New York Post wanted to delete the offending tweet and then they can post again, they have to delete their original story and repost it. That's what they said. So they would have to delete their original tweet, which was simply linking to a story they wrote on their own website, because that's somehow offensive. And then I don't know. That doesn't make sense. Why can they post information now, but that same information in that tweet is not acceptable? Well, that's stupid.
They have to delete it.
And here's the other thing. It's like they're trying to punish them. If Twitter wanted to, they could go in to the New York Post account and just delete the tweet themselves. No. They want the New York Post to do it. Do you know why? It's about bending the knee. It's psychological. It's about bending the knee. I can't believe you conservatives think like this. I can't believe you triggered ass people would sit here and get mad at somebody because of a tweet. There you go. There was no misinformation. They even admitted that they were wrong in what they did. So why are they still punishing the New York Post for their own, for Twitter's error? Maybe he needs to open up the flaps on his yurt a little bit more often and let some of the weed smoke out, because it seems like he's way too high. Josh Hawley tweeted, it was just funny. He goes, the level of idiocy confirms the widespread impression that Jack's primary food source is weed. There you have it. Oh my gosh. It's just too, it doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. All they have to do is to get their account back is, and then you have this guy, Charlie Warzel, who is like he reports on the information wars for the New York Times. And he tweeted, the New York Post leaving a violating tweet up in order to stay locked out of an account in order to use it as a political cudgel is a classic tactic. But it's usually when you see from individual MAGA influencers. And I wrote, the violating tweet being a well-sourced and legitimately reported on story, the political cudgel is the platform suspension of accounts that fall outside of their ideological boundaries. Yep. That's what that is.
Yep.
Gemini. So to try to make it out to be like this is their fault because they did the journalism, you're not going to gaslight people into accepting this. And that's what it is. It's just they're beclowning themselves. I wonder who's a part of their little like truth ministry thing. Just curious. Who's a part of the Twitter truth ministry? I don't begrudge anyone's political affiliations, but I do begrudge your douchey behavior when you use that as a reason to treat other people cruelly. I can't stand that. I want to come back to it because I could spend the rest of the show on this. Like, for instance, oh my gosh, the Iranian issue. Okay, I'm going to come back to that. There's so many inconsistencies with what he's saying. There's so many. Do you realize that one big major media outlet yesterday was running with this debunked story? Oh my gosh! And then over the weekend, somebody else was running with a debunked story over the weekend, wherein they were reporting that a vaccine killed someone for the coronavirus. But then this was the Washington Post, and what the Washington Post didn't actually say was that this person was part of the control group, so they didn't even have the vaccine. And they ran it like this person legit. That was the headline. Like they got killed in this study on vaccines, leading you to believe the suggestion was that the vaccine killed them. Wow. Twitter didn't put no label up in front of that. Amazing. Okay, let me. I know I need to get into some other stuff. So a few things here. Some election issues. There was here's another false story. What? So. It was reported yesterday that Trump pulled ads in Florida. He didn't pull ads in Florida. Yeah. In fact, the people who handle that for his campaign were like, hi. Yeah, we just did some ad buys, so we didn't pull ads. Can you correct your story? Nope, because we're the fourth estate. We're not going to correct our story. They didn't correct their story. It's still as is. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about truth. As it relates to the election, acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf, what a name. I almost can't get past his name every time I read it. Chad Wolf. Chad is like kid slang. All the boomers out there, all the elderly socialists who walk hunched over like cocktail shrimp, and they try to like dye their hair bright colors to give the appearance that they're younger. These people insist that the word Chad, the name Chad, is like alt-right language when all the kids say it. And I'm pretty sure that all the Gen Z kids that say it are not alt-right, you morons. So stop it. I always see these like old, withered grain, you know, these Marxists saying, oh, the name Chad is alt-right. Gosh, go, you know what, just go get your Metamucil, get your Ensure, put your comfy slippers on, have one of your grandkids lean you back in your Barca lounger, and shut up. We don't need you out here. Chad Wolf. Chad is slang, well, at least for Gen Z, as being a dude who's hard, he's hardcore, like he's tough, right? And also cool. Like, that's a total Chad move, whereas Kyle is a doucher. Oh. See? I'm learning, too, yeah. So the fact that his name is Chad Wolf is hysterical. Anyway, now that I've gotten past that, Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf advises Americans to stay patient if outcomes aren't known election day, even as the president is pushing for results on November 30. He says, be mindful of what you're seeing on social media. Well, this is peak 2020. Of course 2020 is an election year. Of course it is. And that's something that we keep hearing, that we may not even know the results November 3rd. Nope, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. Not at all. And there was... You have, so Biden today is doing a bus tour of Texas. You didn't know that?
No.
Mm-hmm. He's out in West Texas. He's going to Lubbock, Abilene, Fort Worth, Dallas. And then tomorrow, I think they head to like the Houston area.
Really?
Yeah, Beaumont and other areas. So he was in Georgia and in Warm Springs, Georgia. And he walks out to a podium, and I happen to notice all of the media. Remember how Hillary Clinton kept everyone reined in, literally? So Joe Biden walks out, and there were circles taped onto the grass and soil for the reporters to sit in. Actual circles taped on grass. And that's where the reporters were supposed to stay. I wonder also if sometimes I don't think that this is going overboard on virtue signaling. I think that they're using this as a front where they would rather look like they're going overboard on virtue signaling than to show that there isn't as much enthusiasm for him with the crowds, right? Hasn't he been doing rallies where they're just in their cars? Like a drive-in?
Yeah, I've heard those too.
Why not just like stay home and watch television in that event? They showed him, somebody said they showed him walking so they don't have to show him talking. That's why they recorded it that way. Are crowds the best measure, though, of enthusiasm?
I'd say so.
You think so? But I don't trust them, the optics as to why they're doing it. I think that they're doing this to hide either a lack of enthusiasm or, I don't know, I just don't trust them.
No, I agree. And I just think that the small crowd size and large crowd size, that doesn't guarantee that those crowd sizes are all going to vote or are all going to be impactful in the voting. But,
right.
I mean, let's be real. Thousands of people at Donald Trump's rallies when he has several a day, and you can't get even a percentage of those people at a Biden rally, no matter when he holds it or no matter how much time between his rallies. Hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's an indication.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. James O'Keefe has a big story on voter fraud in Texas. We'll touch on that as well. We have coming up the latest unrest from Philly. There are a ton of businesses destroyed from a second night of rioting in Philadelphia, this after cops shot a man who was armed with a knife running towards them, charging towards them. And apparently you're supposed to be able to do that, I guess. I'm not sure. So we're going to discuss that as well. We're also going to get into some of the SJW stuff and some cancel culture stuff. The Omaha rally, that Bob Alinsky interview. Dang. Keltec is a privately owned family company that has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. They believe in respect for you and myself and our fellow citizens and the right to bear arms and in the love that we all have for our great country. All innovative Keltec firearms are proudly and quality made right here in America. Every Keltec employee, regardless of their role, is encouraged to innovate, to find better ways to make things efficiently with quality in mind. The Keltec commitment to innovation and quality and George Kellgren's dedication to the quality of life for each employee truly sets them apart from any firearms manufacturer I've had the pleasure of knowing. The new affordable P17 pistol from Kel-Tec makes range days a lot less expensive and far more fun. It's lightweight, easy to handle, and features a fiber optic front sight and adjustable rear. Affordable at an MSRP of only $199, the P17 gives you a lot more bang for the buck. Check them out at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I know we're not supposed to, Steve was like, don't go to me, but I totally want to go to him now because apparently, so Steve is in DC basically, and they're having at Radio America's HQ, and they're having a fire drill. Just so you can remember how to get out of a building when there's a fire, Steve, is that right?
Yeah, they're doing construction on the floor under me, as you heard off air before. And they want to make sure if it catches on fire that the 7th and 9th floors can go out downstairs. So any second now, there's going to be a loud siren, and it's going to freak me out.
Do they know that you're going to be in the studio so that in case there is, you know, say they want to burn the building down, they won't do that because they're going to know you're in there?
I'll be the one perishable, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a bummer. Yeah. We're praying for you, Steve. We're going to hope that you get through this. I haven't done a fire drill in forever. Like that, I always said, and I've been saying this for a long time. You remember how many times you learned about stop, drop, and roll?
Yeah.
Didn't you think you were going to be on fire a lot as an adult?
Yeah.
Like, I just kept thinking, what in the world am I going to do when I'm older where I'm going to need to know it to this extent?
Yeah.
I mean, am I just going to be around fires all the time? Is that what being an adult is? Actually, yes, it is. It very much is. But you have to learn how to mentally stop, drop, and roll. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we have on the way, let me just break it down for you. Political correctness is endangering lives. We have a story coming out of the UK. The security there didn't approach a bomber because they didn't want to be considered racists. Yeah, so we're going to discuss that as well. We're also going to get into some new polling information. The Republican Party apparently leads in Michigan and where it concerns ballots returned. That Omaha rally, that Bob Alinsky interview, that looting last night, all that stuff. Stick with us. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972 Patriot or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972 Patriot. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972 Patriot. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
The former vice president has said he had no knowledge whatsoever of his son's business dealings and was not involved in them at all. But this sounds like direct involvement in them.
Yeah, that's a blatant lie. When he states that, that is a blatant lie. Obviously, the world's aware that I attended the debate last Thursday. And in that debate, he made a specific statement around questions around this from the president. And I'll be honest with you, I almost stood up and screamed liar and walked out because I was shocked that after 4 days or 5 days that they prepped for this, that the Biden family is taking that position to the world.
Ooh, you know how some people just dollar bills? That's receipts from Tony Bobulinski. Even his name. Why would you mess with a dude who is a vet and his also his last name is Bobulinski?
Right.
That sounds like a type of punch to the face, doesn't it? Man, he totally got Bobulinski'd right in the neck. See? Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'll tell you where to find me. Don't let me forget before we go on break this segment. Kane's over there. Okay, so let me just sidebar. Let me give you behind the scenes.
Halfway
like
to
Pete.
Diabetes right now.
So I discovered this year, caramel. Is it caramel or caramel? Does it matter?
I think it depends on what part of the country you're from.
That gooey tan stuff that's in them M&Ms. That's,
oh, yeah, that.
But it's like a Cadbury. In my day-to-day life, I say caramel, but I feel like I have to say caramel to sound more professional as a broadcaster, but I feel like a pretentious doucher. So I can't. It's the third time I said that word, like, just this past hour. There's something going on. So anyway, I discovered caramel M&Ms just me personally this year. And we've already gone through a bag of them in our house. And so I'm like, I should order some for the future. So I ordered a bunch of bags, not realizing that each order was like three bags.
Oh, dang.
So I ordered three, thinking I was going to get three bags. So I ended up getting a lot more than that. And I filled a pumpkin here because I have a habit when people are in my workspace or my home or wherever, I feed them. I have to. So this pumpkin was full of caramel M&Ms an hour ago at the start of the show. And Kane and Rachel are over here giving themselves diabetes. And I'm asking Kane a question. He can't even answer me because he's got a mouthful of M&Ms. He's
true.
Like, rrr, rrr, rrr. So Kane's over here compromised by caramel M&Ms. Steve's in damn Radio America in a fire drill. And the alarm sounds like a drunk sorority girl running up and down the hall going, whoop, whoop. It's just all chaos over here. It's chaos.
2020.
So that's where we are. So, oh, and today's my 20th wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. I've been married 20 years. You know, right? Mm-hmm. So 20 years in 2020. Oh, look at that. So easy to remember now. I love it. It helps to get married in, like, you know, a year that can match. Yeah, you know, it just helps. All right. So the election and then the Bobulinski stuff. I want to start with the Bobulinski stuff because I love saying his name. I watched this interview last night. I thought that he seemed very relatable and very mad, which I can totally understand. Because his name is out here in all of these emails and he's being talked about like he's a Russian asset. Because that's what the Bidens are. They allowed this guy. Every time Joe Biden sits here and goes, oh, I love the vets. Trump hates them. I want y'all to remember how he treated this Navy SEAL. I want y'all to remember how he treated Bobulinski. Because to suggest that he's a Russian asset as a way to dodge responsibility for the insanity that is your son, that's so, man, that's lame. That's so lame. And this guy, he's not selling access. He's not doing anything. He's just mad because his name came up in all of this. And apparently people started coming at him because his name was in all of this stuff. And he's like, no. I love my country. And so he said in the interview that he had reached out to Jim Biden, Joe's brother, and had said, you're going to have to say that I don't have anything to do with this. I need you to get my name out of this. And they wouldn't do it. And he's like, well, okay, since you're not going to do it, I'm going to go public with it. And I'll clear my name myself. You're not going to like it, but I pick me over you. And that's what he did last night. He doesn't seem like a guy who's nefarious or malicious. He's just, and he even said before, yeah, you know, I've supported Democrats before. But this is a step too far. What do you think? You were going to trash a veteran's name and the veteran wasn't going to care about that? I mean, for crying out loud, do you understand how people who serve are wired? There's an honor and integrity there. Come on. But, oh, man. So that's what he was mad about. Audio sound by 13. That's what he was livid over this. Listen.
I held a top secret clearance from the NSA and the DOE. I served this country for 4 years in one of the most elite environments in the world, Naval Nuclear Power Training Command. And to have a congressman out there speaking about Russian disinformation or Joe Biden at a public debate referencing Russian disinformation when he knows he sat face to face with me, that I was traveled around the world with his son and his brother. To say that and associate that with my name is absolutely disgusting to me.
Mm. Yeah, he was not happy about that at all. Audio sound by 12. This was a very, I can see this being said. And there are more pictures if you look for them. Don't, because some of them are gross.
Yeah.
I'm just like, just don't. I mean, some of the stuff that's out there is so disgusting. Oh, I want to. Oh. So bad. Listen to this. This was, I mean, this exchange sounds, this sounds like a Hunter Biden response completely.
And I'm thinking about the Biden family, like, how are they doing this? I know Joe decided not to run in 2016, but what if he ran in the future? Aren't they taking political risk or headline risk? And I remember looking at Jim Biden and saying, how are you guys getting away with this? Like, aren't you concerned? And he sort of, he looked at me and he laughed a little bit and said, plausible deniability.
Hmm. Plausible deniability. He didn't seek these out either, as he says in audio soundbite 14. Tony Bobulinski was like, I didn't seek these people out. They came looking for me. They were the ones who approached me. They were the ones who reached out to me.
I didn't request to meet with Joe. They requested that I meet with Joe. And, you know, he's putting his, and Hunter says this in writing, it was referenced multiple times, they were putting their entire family legacy on the line. Mm-hmm. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, they did. They knew exactly what it was. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. I mean, just good heavens. I just can't believe that we are not having a discussion about the Democrat nominee for president being indebted to the communist Chinese government and what that means for national security. One of the narratives about this, where did I have this at? I'm a little bit behind in my list of prep. One of the narratives that's been out about this that I keep seeing over and over again, and I mentioned it yesterday, and I didn't really agree with it yesterday, and I still don't agree with it today. But it has to do with whether or not Republicans are overplaying their hand with this. And Ted Cruz had said in an interview that, oh, this isn't going to move the needle. It's not really going to move the needle in terms of whether or not people are going to vote for Joe Biden or not as a result of this. I don't know if I fully agree with that, but I do think that this idea that we on the right shouldn't mention this story or focus on it as much because it's not going to move the needle, or because it is a friend of mine thinks that it encourages the administration to get off point when speaking about things. That's what surrogates are for, though. I think Trump needs to stay totally on point, and all the surrogates need to hit this as well. But I don't necessarily agree with that either. It, to me, it seems like it's just a narrative to say that this is like Republicans could hurt themselves by focusing on this too much. Do you? I mean, that's just because that sounds like something. And if the media would, legacy media would say as a way to try to con you into not discussing it.
Right. When it comes to debunking, we debunk the stories about Trump all the time with actual facts and video.
Right.
What they haven't been able to do is somehow make this claim of Russian disinformation,
right,
prove that. They haven't been able to do that. And we have the physical evidence. We have it all. So stop trying to gaslight.
Yeah. Don't gaslight people. I mean, there's more things here, more better sources and more people on record here than there ever was with the any of the Russian whatever, the Russian collusion garbage. Way more. I mean, and these are credible people on record, people that had high security clearances. It's actually kind of difficult to obtain a high security clearance. I mean, they even look at your relationships. They look at everything to see in what way you could be compromised and have this information be accessed by people, by players who should not have access to it. So this, as we lead up to the election, Project Veritas has a damning story. Damning story. And I realized how damning it was when, once again, I was trying to share links, videos from the James O'Keefe Project Veritas, the voter fraud that they're trying to commit in Texas. And the me even sharing it, I have actually several different screenshots of several different tweets where I tried to tweet like a video or a link or even a screen because I wanted to see what would happen, and it would put a sensitive thing over the tweet. And I even recorded the screen when I was looking at it on my phone because I thought, okay, well, I was using TweetDeck, which is no longer supported desktop client for Twitter. And then I used the Twitter app on my phone and it was the same thing, even on the browser as well. So it shows what it would say this tweet is unavailable. So when I would quote tweet something, it would say this tweet is unavailable. Or if I put a link out to it and someone retweeted me, it would show up on your timeline as you retweeting something that said this tweet is unavailable. But it doesn't do this for everything. And there are a number of I was just talking about this last hour, that one Washington Post story wherein they were trying to gaslight everyone into thinking that during one of these vaccination trials, there was someone who died. They died because of the vaccine, when in fact they were part of the control group that didn't even get it. And there was nothing that was placed over that story. Now, when you would try to retweet it, it would say, do you want to read the story first or something, which is stupid. But there was no tweet unavailable. It didn't hide the tweet. It says the same. It hides the tweet and the same. It looks the same as when somebody deletes a tweet and you have retweeted something that person has since deleted after you retweeted it. So it's just further example of corporate suppression by Twitter. But this story, we're going to get into it. Now the Texas Attorney General is looking at it. All of these voter fraud allegations that were uncovered by Project Veritas on camera. It's insane.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Costco is the latest retailer, according to USA Today, to drop Chowco coconut milk over allegations of forced monkey labor.
What?
Yes. So they follow Food Lion, Giant Food, and Stop and Shop. They're not stocking brands of coconut milk, including Chowco, after PETA said that these little monkeys in Thailand were the ones picking the coconuts. Okay. Are they I don't really give a crap. I mean, do they treat them nice?
They're better at doing it.
Just give them pets and whatever the hell monkeys eat, and they're fine. Right? Isn't that how? I mean, do they like it?
Right.
Just, I don't know. I mean, I don't want them abused or anything. I just don't really like monkeys. I got into a fight with a chimpanzee once, literally, legitimately, when I was a child. It happened, and he smashed my bugles, my chips, and it made me mad. All right. So, anyway, I just thought that was a fascinating headline. So, there you go. You don't really need that for today, but I felt you did. A skull on a fireplace mantle turned out to be that of this missing Morgan County man.
Oh.
Now, see, a random person would just think that it's a nice, you know, Halloween decoration, or unless you're in my house and you're like, oh, that's an everyday item. Okay, I get you. District Attorney General Russell Johnson in the Morgan County Sheriff's Office retrieved the skull. This was in March, but now the DNA test by Knox County Regional Forensic Center, they say, yeah, it belongs to Junior Willie McCann. He's a missing persons case. So now they're investigating how in the world his skull got on this guy's shelf. Oh my goodness. That's, yeah. But it's, again, still also a cool, not the real skull, never mind. A sorority apologizes for congratulating Amy Coney Barrett, according to the Tennessee Star. The Kappa Delta sorority deleted and apologized for a congratulatory message for Amy Coney Barrett. The sorority tweeted out an image saying, KD alumna Amy Coney Barrett nominated to serve on the Supreme Court. They said, we don't take a stand on political appointments, but we recognize her accomplishment. Apparently that wasn't enough because all the woke scolds decided to cry and moan about it. And so they deleted their tweet, which is sad. I wish they didn't do that. Yeah. All right. We have a lot more on the way, including the New York Times hardcore journalismine on refrigerators. Stay with us.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
Foremost, we, as you mentioned, we did label that tweet. As we think about enforcement, we consider severity of potential offline harm. And we act as quickly as we can. We have taken action against tweets from world leaders all around the world, including the president. And we did take action on that tweet because we saw it. We saw the confusion it might encourage. And we labeled it accordingly. And the goal with our labeling...
You're speaking of the president's tweet.
Yes.
Okay.
The goal of our labeling is to provide more context, to connect the dots so that people can have more information so they can make decisions for themselves. We've created these policies recently. We are enforcing them. There are certainly things that we can do much faster, but generally... we believe that the policy was enforced in a timely manner and in the right regard.
Really, though? I noticed that, I think the, what was it, the Bob Alinsky interview last night that Tucker did, and welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Good to be with you. It generated about 1.2 million tweets, but it was only 27th and trending. The other trending topics were, they had 70,000 fewer tweets. Look at that. I mean, when you look at, it ended up being 27. It was not, purposefully not a trending topic. Trending topic is generated by the number of tweets, and it had a frillion times more than everything else. And it wasn't trending. Look at that. But, you know, they're a platform, not a publisher. Just quit lying to everybody. This is the argument that, this is where I do understand this desire to not roll back, because I wholeheartedly do not support in rolling back 230 protections universally. But for these platforms, if they are serving, they're essentially serving as publications. Exactly. They're serving as their very own media network. But they don't have the responsibility or any liability the way other media networks operate. Look at it like this. Nick Sandman was able to sue and settle with CNN after they slandered him, and he was able to go after them because they are not protected under Section 230 in that way. They're a media outlet, to be sure, but there are certain forms of speech that are not protected from liability. Slander, libel, those are just two examples. And so as a result, they were held, they had to fight it out in court. Now you have, instead of a news report or a published article with a byline, the story is how content appears on these social media platforms. So this brings me back to this interview with Bob Alinsky last night. You have 1.2 million, 1.2 million tweets. And the trending topics are a way for people to see what are the bigger issues, the legitimate issues right now, what are the big stories, or what is the prevailing thought. And by manipulating the trending topics, you are manipulating that perception. You are presenting to users a narrative, a story. Just because it's in a different medium doesn't make it any less of an editorial. Just because there isn't a byline doesn't mean it's not editorialized. And so that is how I can see that, using that as an example, those protections being rolled back for platforms who adopt the behavior and ultimately even in some regards structure of a media outlet, but they tried to use the fact that because their site operates differently, they should be exempt from liability. Well, you know that Nick Sandman story? His name trended far and wide on Twitter. You have the study, for instance, about the vaccine. The Washington Post running this story about how it was apparently one individual who was in the control group, but they failed to mention that. And instead, the story suggested that this person was a fatality of the vaccine, scaring people from the coronavirus vaccine. Yeah, that has a significant impact. So do you see that is this is the way through which I can be convinced or persuaded to roll back these protections for these platforms that choose to adopt the behavior and model of media outlets. They think that they are pulling one over on you because they're not a CNN or an MSNBC. But yet they have their own narratives just the same as these two networks, and they can be just as damaging just the same as these networks. However, having that protection, and that's it. No one's, and that's the other thing. It is a specious argument to say that Republicans are looking to censor the speech or the platform of Twitter or Facebook. That is an illogical and specious argument. No one's saying that you can't do something. Just as no one is saying that CNN or MSNBC couldn't do what they did when it as it related to Nick Sandman. No, they're saying that you can be held liable for speech or expression that is not protected. That's it. Since you're already becoming your very own media outlet. So it's not an argument of censorship. It is an argument on protection from liability. And I think that Republicans need to make that quite clear. Democrats would like to go further. Democrats want to remove 230 entirely. I am wholeheartedly against that. Absolutely against that. But on these instances, you know, there you go. I do think that, like I said, this is where I pivoted and am now, I can be persuaded on this. Now, not a universal repeal, but a modification for these platforms. Especially when you have Dorsey on record saying, oh, yeah, you know, we did. And then the New York Post. I also was looking at, somebody made a really good point when I retweeted it, because the right does not invest in new media. We were having conversations with some big competitive social platforms. And we were discussing the difficulty in getting, because the left has big donors where they give a lot of money to leftist media. And the right doesn't do that. Even though the right organically gained a foothold and an advantage by being early adopters and users of social media, we do not have the same kind of investment, muscle, and momentum put behind a lot of outlets that could be considered on the right. Because I do believe that people who are in the press, people who practice journalism, people who tell the stories of their areas, they can be absolutely biased. But I think that we're past the point, and this is why the founders always talked about the importance of virtue. I think we're past the point of people being able to tell stories in their area and just being, I mean, and having enough people to do it to where you can have an unbiased or objective press restored. First off, we've never had an objective press. I think I wrote about that in one of my previous books. I think it was Flyover Nation. We've never had an objective press. Press has always been partisan to a degree. Even back in the much celebrated eras of journalism, the 50s and the 60s, and that, it was still where you had those anchors that were trusted, who the Edward R. Murrows and every, you still had bias. But it just wasn't as blatant as it is now. So the idea that we've always had an objective media and that somehow that got lost, that's also a false narrative. But I do think that people have lost the, well, at least these individuals who go and practice journalism because they're confusing journalism and advocacy. You have a lot of people who want to go into political advocacy, but they also want a little attention for themselves. So they're attracted to the, you know, potential byline and cable news contributorships and all this stuff. So they go into journalism. And when instead they should have been advocates or they should have gone into public policy or something like that, they mistake journalism and that industry for advocacy. That's why there's, by the way, that's why there's such a crossover between those two industries. That's why you have the George Stephanopouloses at the ABC and the Jake Tappers at the CNN and so on and so forth. And the same with conservative Republicans, too. But there isn't an objective press. There never has been. I don't begrudge people having their opinions. I do begrudge if you're not honest about it. Or if you try to tell us that we are the ones that have the problem, not you. Or that when we criticize your bias, that you are going to interpret that dissent or disagreement lamely and say that it's persecution. But Republican donors need to realize that they must invest in center-right media. They must realize that. We must be able to have our own quality entities. Because that's where everything is going to. It's not going to be much longer that you're going to have your traditional cable television packages. Everything is going to be piecemeal through Roku. You're going to be at like the Hulus and the Amazon Primes and the Netflixes and all of that. It's all going to be piecemeal. Just like it's becoming popularly now. And the center right and needs more outlets, because when that shift finally does occur, they will be outnumbered. And the reason now why you have these voices heard is because you still have that melting pot that of ideas that everybody has to fight it out. There's not going to be a forced shared space anymore when everything goes piecemeal like this. There will not be a forced shared space. You're going to have people retreating to their corners to only watch the things that confirm their beliefs. And it's going to be even harder for those ideas to break through to the other side. And the right needs to get that quick. We have a lot to come still. Can you tell by what's in someone's fridge who they're going to vote for? The New York Times thinks that this is absolutely... That's absolutely how you absolutely can. We'll talk about that coming. I know. Wait, it's silly. Wait till you hear about it, though.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Look, I know that maybe you do not like your neighbor's yard sign if it is political, but get over it. I do think this is funny, and I'm not encouraging anyone to do this. In fact, do not do this, but it is kind of funny because I can only imagine. 26-year-old Florida man, he stole a bulldozer and ran down a bunch of Biden-Harris campaign signs. Why did he need a bulldozer?
Yeah.
Haines City, Florida. He was accused of stealing a bulldozer from a Florida construction site, driving it into a neighborhood, and bulldozing down, literally, campaign signs for Biden-Harris, according to authorities and homeowners. Haines City, Florida, it was last Saturday, and he did it in full view of people who live in the neighborhood, they said. So James Blight, 26 years old, was charged with grand theft auto and trespassing. The former mayor, the vice mayor, Adam Burgess, lives in the neighborhood, and he says it's a hate crime because it's a predominantly black neighborhood. He said, this man came into my property, took two Biden signs, and then came back with a bulldozer. Okay, you can't be running down. Oh, by the way, apparently Blight was also drunk out of his mind. And he said he couldn't even remember that he was driving a bulldozer. How are you able to operate a bulldozer if you were so drunk you can't even remember operating a bulldozer, right?
Seems impossible.
I'm just saying. A Florida man in a garbage bag suit sets fire to trash trucks because, you know, it's 2020. A man covered in black garbage bags set fire to several trucks at a Florida waste management business, causing millions of dollars worth of damage. He was wearing a what was described as a garbage bag type suit and goggles. He broke into the Pompano Beach Waste Pro facility. He torched the gate about 2:15 in the morning, and this is in Broward County, and it showed him setting fire to all these garbage trucks on the property, and he also tried to burn down the building. He left in a black sedan, and so now they are they're looking for him because all they know is he's a trash suited arsonist.
What's the motivation for that? Why would you burn garbage trucks so they can't collect
it? Kind
the
of also looks like he looks like a reject from Missy Elliott's video. I'm just saying. He does, right? Super Duper Fly, he does. He looks like a total reject from that. Why? But why though?
Exactly.
And you wear, I guess he didn't want his body type discerned, so that's why he wore the garbage. Stick with us. We have a lot more in store. More of The Dana Show back in minutes.
It's The Dana Show.
I want my son name and everybody to stop this and, you know, give my son a chance and our family like we decent people, you know what I mean? They don't want us to target us like we're like we animals and we's not. We deserve respect, and as the public and anybody to have respect for our family to pray for us and, you know, cut it out. Because the looting is very mindset, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not going to bring my son back.
Hmm. And that is the father of Walter Wallace Jr., who was saying that, you know, stop this stuff. Stop the looting, all of the awfulness that has been going on now for the past two nights. Welcome to the show. I am Dana Lash, danalash.com. This was his Wolf Blitzer interview, right?
I think so.
So the father was taught, and here's my note on this. I'm pulling up a transcript because I want to make sure. There was one point in this when they were discussing, because it was Wolf Blitzer and he was interviewing the father, and they also had on this guy, Charles Ramsey, who is the network's law enforcement analyst. And he said, the transcript shows, he says, every shooting is concerning, a tragedy of its own. We have to take a careful look at this, thorough investigation, to find out whether or not the use of deadly force was justified. This was a call for a man with a knife. The officers were seen backing up. The individual was coming toward them with a knife. Neither of these officers were armed with tasers, which would be a less lethal weapon. And he says, I know Philly's in the process of trying to get tasers for all of their patrol officers, etc. And Wolf Blitzer asks, well, the victim had a knife, as you saw. One witness said he had mental health issues. They said, and then he asks, but why shoot to kill opposed to shoot to injure and just prevent anything from going further? And Ramsey's response was not good. He says, well, officers are trained to shoot at what we call center mass. No, officers are trained to stop a threat. End of story. This idea of, well, shoot to kill. First off, stop with the rhetoric. They are trained to stop a threat. If a person doesn't pose a threat, or if the person stops advancing towards police, then that person is no longer considered an immediate threat. And I really wish that that would have been adequately conveyed in this. This is that whole thing. It's like what Joe Biden was saying. Well, why can't they just shoot people in the leg? Oh, you mean at a smaller moving target? He sounds like someone who's never seen a gun, much less ever fired one. or ever has even done any kind of force-on-force training. I've done force-on-force training where I've had someone, because most self-defense instances are anywhere from like 7 to 15 feet on average, 7 to 10. And so you would be surprised when someone is charging you full force, how much ground they can cover in 10 feet. How much 10 feet can, how long 10 feet lasts. I mean, it's like seconds. It's like boom, boom. And we did training, a lot of training on that, to where we had to make the determination when to defend ourselves and at what point do you do that? Because it is shocking how quickly somebody can move 10 feet. So people who say this kind of stuff, you don't have the training to give you any kind of credibility to even analyze the situation, much less make proclamations about it. And isn't that what media and journalism is about? Not engaging in embarrassingly uneducated speculation, but actually distributing fact-based information? Or if it's editorial, wisdom and experience from people who have histories and have experience with this or training? It's just silly. Now, the idea is to stop a threat. Police don't sit here and go, okay, well, we're going to fire a shot in the air. There's our warning shot, because there's the thing called gravity. I mean, you realize if you fire a warning shot, it doesn't just disappear into the ether, right? It's not caught up in the sky by angels or anything. It comes back down. Just like science. And there are a lot of people who are injured and killed annually because of that stuff. Not kidding. So the idea that I just wish that people would have fact-based discussions about this, but instead they're ideological zealotry prevents them from having informative discussions, because it suits their ideological stance better to stay ignorant about issues. And when someone has a knife and they're charging you, I don't care what the other variables are. You don't have, there's no such thing as a right in the United States to charge someone with a knife. There's no right for that. You don't have a right to do that. I can't believe you even have to apparently explain it, but have you, the coverage of the looting, oh my gosh, some of the stuff that I saw is awful. Just awful. Apparently, marchers, Black Lives Matter and Antifa got into a fight because they both wanted to march different places. And so Antifa went one way and Black Lives Matter went another way. Julio Rosas was there. He's been tweeting out video. Yeah, but the protest crowd, they were trying to figure out which way to go. And it was, there were roadblocks and a lot of business destruction. The Foot Locker was looted. And the Target was looted. And then there was another, a CVS last night was looted. And someone had pointed out, well, you know, you're in the Target. There's bread in there. I don't see anybody coming out with bread, you know, because that's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said. I mean, they looted the Walmart. I mean, it's just total devastation. Total devastation. People were showing up with dollies to take out bigger items. Not even kidding. I'm watching a video of one right now. I mean, and apparently Walmart was looted not once, but twice. There were over 15 stores over a 4-block radius that were looted and destroyed. And then one of the guys videotaping, Elijah Schaefer, was jumped and beaten up while he was just covering it. And they tried to rob him. I mean, they jumped him, they attacked him, and they were trying to rob him. And didn't I mean, he got busted up and was bleeding. So, I mean, it just... At Chick-fil-A, I mean, there was zero control of the city. Zero control. No National Guard. The police were... I don't know if they were given stand-down orders or what. The police commanders, according to the local CBS affiliate there, had said that it rapidly went downhill along Aramingo Avenue, and it was a, quote, total loss, they said, from the looting. And just thankfully we didn't have any cops run over last night. But there were also a lot of people, there were, what, 11 people who were shot last night, including a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old. And then there were Orthodox Jews that were attacked by the rioters. And the Orthodox Jews told the protesters they were there to show solidarity, but it didn't matter. And they ended up getting screamed at and slurred and fought. So I mean, just good heavens. And then because I don't know if you've noticed this, but there has not been any coverage of this, or really Tony Bobulinski by CNN or MSNBC. And if you look on social, there are so many screen caps of people scouring their sites to see what's being reported on it. And you'd be surprised at the absence of reporting. And this morning, one of these guys with the New York Times said that it was conservative voices, I'm reading directly, conservative voices looking to amplify and draw attention to looting in Philadelphia. Yes, it happened. Remarkable how conservatives want to elevate it. I am without speech. Holy cow. No, they don't want this on the news this close to an election. I mean... No, this is how the New York Times talks about it. A glorious poetic rage. Now, one local, this was at Keeley Fox 29, Steve Keeley. He said that there was a directive from the Philly Police executive team, and the officers, the patrolling commanders, are incredibly frustrated. He says, quote, they told me overnight that they were ordered to not arrest looters, just disperse them. And he shared a screen cap of the order. It says, by the order of CAR 2, Philadelphia police will respond to priority calls only. This means no calls for disturbance, missing person, stolen vehicle, burglary, or theft will be answered.
What?
Yeah. So there's no deterrent. I mean, you want to know why people don't care about looting a store and when you have media choppers overhead and you're in full view of public? Because it's already been broadcast that there's no deterrent. I mean, you have a choice here come November. More of this or not? You got a choice. Goodness. I mean, I feel so bad for these cities that have to go into this total loss. And because somebody was charging cops with a knife. And I guess the cops didn't allow themselves to get stabbed to death. So that's why people are rioting. We have more to come. There's just sad all around. A lot more to come.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the 3-Martini Lunch as we dissect today's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the 3-Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I'm not going to read the headline the way it is, but it is funny. A fighting rooster kills police as a blade attached. This is awful. I'm not laughing at this. It's just a crazy headline. Please bear with me. A fighting rooster kills a police officer because it has blades on its legs. It sliced an artery in a cop's leg during a raid in the Philippines. This Lieutenant Christian Bullock, he was killed at a rooster fight raid in the country yesterday. He picked up a rooster and its fighting spur sliced his leg open, and he bled to death. That is awful. But I mean, that's insane. Oh my gosh, it's just awful. I mean, that is a crazy story. Yeah. Oh man. I wrote a whole book about this. Sarah Silverman says progressives should allow cancel culture victims a path to redemption months after her own blackface scandal. It's like she read Grace Canceled. Almost verbatim. Look at that. Investor Bill Gross is accused of blaring Gilligan's Island on loop to torment his neighbor. So his neighbor put up one of those, I can never say his name, the Chihuly glass, right? Chihuly? Yeah, he put this glass sculpture thing in his yard, and apparently it's where his neighbor can see it, and his neighbor hates it. And so in punishment, he has been playing, this is in Laguna Beach in Southern California, it's 22-foot-long blue glass installation, and it has a netting structure to protect it, and the homeowner said that it blocked his view, and so now he's been playing Gilligan's Island on loop constantly, 24/7, as a punishment to his neighbor. But what does it do to you, though? Like, aren't you kind of crazy with it, too? I'm just saying. I mean, just good heavens. Let's see here. Also, the American airstrikes take down 12 Al-Qaeda and Taliban that are engaging these operations. 12 Al-Qaeda and Taliban. These terrorists, a dozen of them, killed members in Syria and Afghanistan. These airstrikes have killed a dozen of them since just Thursday alone, not even a week. The U.S. Forces Afghanistan spokesman Colonel Sonny Leggett confirmed that the American troops had conducted a strike in defense of Afghan troops, and it killed 5 Taliban fighters, had no civilian casualties. So it's fewer terrorists, so I'm okay with that. So researchers discover a molecular link between diet and risk of cancer. So yesterday I had a story about how diet soda could help. It's unhealthy for you and could cause heart disease or make it worse. And now they're saying that an international team of researchers identified a molecular link between meat and dairy diets and the development of antibodies in the blood that increase the chances of developing cancer. And they said that might be why there's high incidence of it amongst those who eat large amounts of dairy and red meat. Red meat's amazing, by the way.
It is.
But that makes me sad. Everything's bad for you, and then it's not again. I don't know. Stick with us. We have a lot more in store.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
The Chinese and CFC never viewed me. I'm insignificant and irrelevant in this discussion. To them, it was always the Biden family. It wasn't Hunter Biden. It wasn't Jim Biden. It was the Biden family, who's obviously led and operated by Joe Biden. And in a document that you guys have, and I think it's been provided to the world, the Chinese referenced that because of their trust in the Biden family, that Chairman Yi and Director Zhang are excited about moving forward in this. And in that document, they referenced loaning $5 million to the BD family.
Right.
The BD family is the Biden family. And notice they didn't say we're loaning that money to Oneida Holdings, or we're loaning that money to Tony Bobulinski, or we're loaning that money to James Gillier or Rob Walker. They, once again, not a document generated by me, a document generated by CFC, that they're loaning that money to the Biden family.
But no, let's not have any kind of discussion about any of that, because heaven forbid. Dana, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Also, by the way, really quickly, here's where you can find me.
In a world where common sense isn't so common.
I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
Where being offended is somehow more valuable than nuance or facts.
Can this year get any
There is a source for intelligent, educational, and entertaining content designed to save mankind. And it's available for free online. Find all things Dana at DanaLash.com, at Dana Lash on Parler, at DLash on Twitter and Instagram.
Stream The Dana Show live on Facebook at Official Dana Lash, simulcast on YouTube at Dana Lash, and live via the First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And on a radio near you.
There you go. That's where you can find me. That's one of my favorite things you've ever made.
Yeah.
I love it. Yes, I like that. I want that to be my voicemail greeting. Is that weird? I don't think so. So, the ongoing, the hearing today that we had with Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey of Twitter, they lured him out of a yurt with new yoga pants. And Zuckerberg said apparently that the FBI warned them a while ago that weeks leading up to the election, there would be attempts to interfere with it with hacked documents. Was that them warning Facebook about the laptop from hell?
Could be.
Do you think?
Could be.
I am curious. I'm just curious. The New York Times doesn't really want to talk about that or the rioting in, as we have, or the rioting in Philly. No, they're looking at, can you guess whether or not someone with a MAGA hat or a Biden-Harris tote voted for by what was in their fridge? And I'm not even kidding you. The article, they were asking, they asked like different influencers and podcast hosts and things like this. This is literally how their articles this goes. This one guy whose name is Justin McElroy, he said that the prepackaged muffins feel Trump to me. And he goes, also, why are they in the fridge? And somebody had a bottle of oil in their fridge. He goes, why is there a huge bottle of oil in the fridge? This is a confusing refrigerator. Right. Apparently it was a Biden fridge, though. Oh, look at that. Someone said the person who had a carton of almond milk that had to have been a Biden household and the Powerade had to belong to Trump supporters, and it was actually completely wrong. I have almond milk in my fridge.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. See, you also do?
Yep.
Rachel. Oh my gosh, it's three almond milks. Steve doesn't have almond milk in his fridge.
I haven't had a glass of milk in like years, so I know.
What white liquid do you drink?
Pardon?
That's not almond milk or like the other, like the, it's not milk, like the, okay, there's nowhere I can go.
Elmer's school.
Do you have a substitute for milk?
No, I'm strictly water, coffee, and sometimes soda. That's it.
You ever put cream in your coffee at all or nothing like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, half and half. Does that count?
All right. That's dairy.
That's dairy. Do you eat cheese?
Yes, I love cheese.
Okay, so you got your dairy.
He's not anti-dairy.
He just likes solid dairy.
Yeah.
He likes it being solid.
I eat cream cheese on bagels every day. Does that count?
Oh my gosh, it's totally your dairy. You eat that daily?
Every day at the office, yep.
Nice,
yeah. Hey, did your fire drill go okay?
Yeah, it was great. I'm alive.
Yeah, did anybody get hurt, like running out of the building?
And your bagels get toasted?
Oh, man. So, yeah, that I just think it was just interesting, and I think it does tell, I think it betrays people's own prejudices. Like, for instance, someone thought that another fridge that had pricey yogurt in it, is that a thing, pricey yogurt?
Wow, I didn't know
that was a Biden voter, and it also was not a Biden voter. It is just kind of funny. Because and I also think it shows that the right I think it's stupid to say, well, the right's big tent based on the almond milk. That's stupid. Some people like almond milk. Shut up.
To make any political conclusion from this.
Oh, that person didn't have free range eggs. That feels like a Trump voter to me. Shut up. I have free range eggs in my fridge right the hell now. Golly. It's just, I don't know. It's silly. I hate the word tote.
Do you?
I hate it to death.
Really?
Yes.
What about it is so hateful?
There's two T's.
That is true.
And they're just like right by each other practically.
Almost.
They're not socially distanced enough. It's too many hard sounds right together. It bothers me. Right? It was an aside.
I never thought about it like that, honestly.
Okay, so I want to just go, two things here. I want to get to this Kroger thing. Because Kroger, let me pull this up. They Why do I don't care? Why do people? So they put this. They have this. What is the URL? Oh, it's about community. You're a grocery store. I don't care. But they have all of these people up, a very diverse, including one person with a face mask, that they're standing together, and they have this whole page on their website. Framework for action, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it is a very, they spent some time on this. Like, they even have a pop-up that you have to click off of, the Kroger food people. They say, as America's grocer, our most urgent mission is to be here for our customers when they need us most, with open stores and open-hearted hospitality. We're taking proactive steps to protect the health and safety of our associates, customers, and communities, including adjusted store hours, blah, blah, blah. And then you click off that, and then you can access this page. So it says that their framework for action, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Kroger strives to reflect the communities we serve and foster a culture that empowers everyone to be their true self. Wait, I have to stop here. You, what is this obsession with being your true self? So when you're wringing out someone's tampons, how can you best be your true self? You know? I mean, it's everyday. All of us working our everyday jobs, do you realize how pompous this sounds? Do you? Like, what would they be doing that you couldn't be your true self? What is that even about, right? They say that inspires collaboration, feeds the human spirit. Through our framework for action, we are committed to standing together, mobilizing our people, passion, and scale and resources to transform our culture and our communities. So, Kane, this is what they're doing. Number one, creating a more inclusive culture. They're creating a DE&I advisory council to advance their long-term DE&I commitments, reporting to senior leadership. Also providing unconscious bias training to every leader and DE&I training, I don't even know what the hell that is, for every associate by May 2021. So I'm going to highlight absurdity with absurdity and ask, is this bias you demonstrate while you're sleeping?
Right. It's unconscious bias?
To develop diverse talent. Improving diverse talent recruiting by partnering with historically, and why is historically capitalized? Historically black colleges and universities, Hispanic association colleges and universities, and community colleges. Okay, you can capitalize it if it's like a proper noun, if it's like a in front of a particular university. But now anything that is even remotely describing it is capitalized also, including the words historically. Yeah. Number four, establish two-way mentorship and advocacy program between high potential, which is one word, diverse talent, and senior leaders. Advanced diverse partnerships. Five, increase spend with diverse suppliers from $3.4 billion to $10 billion by 2030. Ensure our media partners align with capitalized our values and that we reach diverse customers through our marketing spend, partners, and strategy. Deploy funds to support impactful approaches, advance racial equity, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, encourage associates to vote and provide voter registration. Engage external stakeholders, blah, 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 blah. Provide associates with platforms to continue sharing their story. You sell food! Sell the damn food! What is so... I don't need to know this. Gosh, can you just shop somewhere without getting slapped upside the head? Is it possible? Like, what if you just wanted to go in and buy some squash? Let us tell you about all... No, I just want to buy some squash. But wait, we want to tell you about what we're doing to increase diverse equity. No, I just really want to get some squash. But it's like the Peloton. I can't even hardly do the Peloton thing anymore because it's almost like they were told to inject social justice warriorism in every single thing. And I'm like, I'm on a cycle. Instead of this being cathartic, it's ticking me off. Stop it. And I hate cycling. I hate it to death. I make fun of myself. Like, go and get on your bicycle, Karen. I just fight with myself. It's ridiculous. I feel like I need to get rid of it because I want to protest against my own possessions, right? So why this is the Kroger thing. They really like went a long way. Is this going to make any difference to you, Kane?
If anything, I would avoid Kroger now because I don't want to be inundated with that stuff when I'm shopping for food. I just want to be there to get what I want and then check out and go home. That's pretty much it. And, you know, least amount of time wearing a mask.
I don't understand why someone's I don't understand the preventing of being your true self just by doing an everyday thing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like what? I don't understand that. Me neither. I get it that companies are falling all over themselves to virtue signal. So that, because if you don't say anything, then the rage mob assumes that you are against them and they will come for you. So so these companies all, and they, so many of them are doing it. It's not even a marketing ploy anymore because it doesn't get any attention except when someone like me makes fun of it. Just sell food and be decent people. That's it. That should be your only plan. If I was running a supermarket thing, I would be like, hi, this is the Dana Supermarket. I really don't give a crap about anything except selling good food and being a decent human. Come to our stores, enjoy the food, don't be a doucher, and then get out. Bye. That's it. That's my whole thing. Ta-da. Super simple. I mean, what about making sure that you always have certain things in stock? How about that? Or making sure that none of your eggs are broken. Or that you don't have any expired food on shelves. Right. You know, just a simple thing like that. Because I can't eat your diversified equity, blah, blah, blah. I can't eat that. No. Do you like a diversified equity sandwich? Is that a vegetable? I don't even know what that is. So, the coronavirus, I'm going to get this in, so help me. The U.S. is still, says Fauci, is in an elongated first wave. Oh, it's elongated now. Are you enjoying your elongated first wave? That's just moving goalposts.
Does that prove, though, that we've mitigated it enough to where it's lengthened out and we never really spiked?
Wasn't that what it was supposed to be?
It was supposed to be that way.
To flatten the curve?
Right.
So if you flatten the curve, wouldn't it be elongated-er?
Exactly.
I mean, just want to pose that. And let's see, really quickly, last but not least. So do you remember when, this was just earlier this week, California was turning power off on like a million people so that they could, because they were worried that there were going to be fires starting from their total lack of land management. And they did this for everybody in California except those in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Screw the rest of you people, right? Just, that's the left. Imagine that like on a national scale. With like a Biden Harris.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I have my werewolf going. Yeah. I like my werewolf. Or he could be a coyote.
It's true.
Taking babies. We were laughing on break about how I think tomorrow we need to do like rides that Peloton should do.
Right?
Right? Because you can take these little scenic rides through areas. And I just have some, we just have some ideas to add, right? So I think we're going to do that tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll do that tomorrow and it'll be fun. So, because I think we just need, as we cruise towards election, there's going to be a lot of back and forth with polling. And I think everyone at this point has made up their mind. It's just making sure that people get out to vote. That's the biggest thing. It's making sure that they get out to vote. And we are going to continue. I mean, we'll cover, obviously, we're still going to cover all the big stuff. But we're also going to make sure that I think people need to just exhale and take a breather, have some fun still as we roll towards November 3rd. Okay? And we're going to make sure you do that. We're going to make sure you have fun. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf calls those riots in Philly they're peaceful protests. Peaceful.
We need to make sure that we follow up, find out what happened. I'm and my staff have been in constant communication since last night with the folks in Philadelphia, and the hope is that doesn't escalate into anything more than the peaceful protests.
So hopefully they will calm down and we won't have a third day. Last but not least, happy 20th anniversary to my husband, Chris. 20 years we've been married. 20 years, y'all. God bless America. I'll be with you tomorrow.